Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, is the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 810 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Great to have you with us this morning. I always appreciate it when people send me texts and tell me they listen or meet me in public and say they listen, like the show. I never take it for granted. I always am. Honestly, there's a part of me that's like, I'm amazed every time. Like, it's really a blessing, so I appreciate that. Joining us now by phone, we have Julio Diaz, the founder of the Pensacola Movie Club, where you watch movies and talk about them. Also, the host of Let's Go Pensacola, Saturdays at 4 on News Radio. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. So the first movie, the one you watched is The Substance, which is a biopic about Spinoza, right?
Well, not exactly.
This is a super lame philosopher's joke, but go ahead. It's actually what, a horror movie, I assume?
Yeah, but this is a movie that's definitely not going to be for everybody. It is a pretty significant, I don't know if you're familiar with a subgenre called body horror.
Ew, I don't like the way this sounds.
But body horror is when there's like some kind of interesting or sometimes repulsive, like, transformation going on.
No, thank you. I'm out. But go ahead. Well, I appreciate the warning.
In this case, though, it's a very interesting high concept for this movie. So this movie stars Demi Moore, and she is playing a very famous woman who is has an aerobics program on television that she's been doing for years. She's got a star on the Walk of Fame. She's been in movies. She's this big celebrity, kind of like Demi Moore, except without
the aerobics,
aerobics show that I know of. She's, you know, of course, Demi Moore, so she's Demi Moore's age, and thus the executives are starting to try to force her out. They think she's too old. And she learns about this thing called The Substance, which you can take this treatment, and for 7 days you will become a younger, more beautiful version of yourself, and then you have to switch back and forth every 7 days.
Okay.
She takes this and turns into a gorgeous younger version of herself, played by Margaret Qualley. And that all sounds great. It doesn't go well because it's a horror movie.
Of course.
It's very intense. It is at times very gory. But it is also one of the best movies of the year.
Interesting. Okay. And so is it like philosophically interesting, plot interesting, acting interesting, all of the above?
All of the above. Both Demi Moore and Margaret Qualley just shine in this movie.
Okay.
Dennis Quaid's not really good in a supporting role as well. And it's very thought provoking. And if you like horror, there's plenty of horror.
Okay, so it's interesting. See, I'd be willing to try it, even though I would not enjoy the gruesome portions, but I would endure them if I know there's a payoff, and it sounds like there is. The other movies that are out this week, Transformers 1. There's a Transformers movie coming out?
Yeah, this is an animated Transformers movie. Get used to what I'm about to tell you, because you're going to see this same storyline in at least 3 different movies this year.
Okay.
So this is a prequel story about how, before all the stories you've seen already, the hero and the villain were best buddies.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, this is like the origin of how Optimus Prime and Megatron used to be great buddies, and then something went wrong.
Okay.
There's a movie coming out a little later in the year called Mufasa, about how Mufasa and Scar were best buddies,
and then everything went wrong. Okay.
And we've got Wicked coming out later this year, which is
about
Glenda and the Wicked Witch of the West,
right? And okay.
They were best buddies. Yeah, so there's a lot of that going on this year. But this is actually getting better reviews than about every Transformers movie that I can remember. This is running in around 86%.
Oh, that is high. Michael Bay haters stay home. Okay. Never Let Go.
This is another horror movie.
It's not a follow-up of Titanic?
No, but kind of a similar concept to The Sense, except, I think there might have been room for Leo on the door, but that's another story.
Gotcha. Agreed.
Halle Berry stars in this post-apocalyptic world where she and her 2 children are kind of literally tied together because they believe if one of them disappears from the other site, they're going to succumb to this great evil. So this is the kind of storyline we've got going on here. Reviews are okay on this one, running in the 65% range on Rotten Tomatoes.
And a very ominously titled The Shade. Does he know what evil lurks in the hearts of men?
No, that would be The Shadow.
I know.
but
correct me, comics boy. Come on.
Another horror movie. This one's not screened for critics, so I don't have a whole lot of hope for this one. Guy with anxiety and his family have to overcome this great evil.
Well, that's the story of everybody. Okay. Yeah. And The Forge?
The Forge, this is the religious movie of the week. So
okay.
This is one that's strictly for the faith-based audience. This is from the people that did The War Room.
Gotcha. And do I see it's the 10-year, I can't believe this, anniversary of Whiplash?
It is. 10 years. So this is the one that J.K. Simmons won his Oscar for, and one that, for better or for worse, introduced the world to Miles Teller. I'm not personally the biggest
better
Miles
or
Tolkien
for worse. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah.
A great movie, though. But a brilliant movie. I just can't believe it was 10 years ago. What are you guys gonna watch next week?
Next week, not sure yet, but I want to make sure I mention to you, I know I complained last week that we did not get the 4:30 movie in Pensacola. That is open now. It's the new Kevin Smith film. It's getting some of the best reviews of his career. It's kind of a semi-autobiographical coming-of-age story.
Okay. All right. Fantastic. Well, we'll look for the information on Facebook, follow the Pensacola Movie Club there, and also listen to Julio as he does his show Saturdays at 4 o'clock. Let's Go Pensacola. Always a pleasure, sir. Thanks for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Coming up next, well, did we get a mountain name canceled? And what else suffered the fate in the Transgressors Memorial Ceremony? Coming up next, John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. We're still dealing with some congestion on I-10 eastbound, but it's not as bad as it was going from Pine Forest to Highway 29. Just seeing about a five-minute delay there. But if you're at the intersection of Highway 29 and 9 Mile, you're going to see some major delays there. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with the traffic on the fives.
Flashlights, check. Camp stove, check. Canned goods, check. Ice chests, check.
Say, what you doing there, neighbor? Going camping?
Not exactly, but it is hurricane season. We've already had a few power outages just with thunderstorms, so I'm getting prepared.
I see. Getting ready for a little indoor camping.
Yeah, you know how it is.
Actually, I don't. We have natural gas from Pensacola Energy at our house, so when the power is out, we still cook up a storm and take hot showers. And since we added the whole house generator, we just keep on like nothing happened.
Must be nice.
It is. Pensacola Energy made it really easy, and we got some great rebates.
How can I get in on that?
Forget indoor camping and get comfortable with natural gas. To learn more about earning up to $3,000 in rebates, call Pensacola Energy at 850-436-5050 or visit PensacolaEnergy.com. We keep on.
Let's get to the points. MasterCard reward points from Pinair Credit Union. Open a new account today and you can earn 20,000 free reward points in the first 90 days. Use those points for travel, merchandise, even cash back. And with no hidden fees and no balance transfer fees, Pinair's Reward MasterCard fits you perfectly. Get started online at pinair.org/creditcards. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions may apply. Offer available on new accounts only. See website for details.
Anderson Subaru has more Subarus than ever before, which makes this the perfect time to get the Subaru that you've always wanted. How about an Outback starting at $26,802? Crosstrek starting at $25,262? Or a Forester starting at $29,378? You'll love your new Subaru, and now you'll love the savings. At Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Klingman's Dome, The highest peak in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, which is officially reverting to its original and authentic Cherokee name, Kuwohi, after suffering more than 150 years of oppression being burdened with the name of a Confederate general. Of course, we celebrate the highly righteous practice of stripping names from explorers, scientists, and discovery makers who used to enjoy the privilege of conquest through naming rights. It's an extra bonus if we can take the name away from some dead straight white Christian man, in this case the Swiss seminarian turned geographer Arnold Guyot, and give it to the indigenous peoples of the Cherokee Nation. But it's an even sweeter joy to know that the man being deadnamed was Confederate scum. Yes, Thomas Lanier Clingman was a Democrat U.S. representative, a lawyer, and a U.S. senator from North Carolina, and a Southern brigadier general, so obviously, nobody. And yes, even though the mountain was named for Clingman in 1859, 2 years prior to the Civil War, that almost makes it an easier decision. He reneged on his oath, and so we renege on his name. As a result, the towering peak will now simply be called Kuwohi, the Cherokee word meaning mulberry place. Yes, Kuwohi, like Denali, Messahehe Mountain, and soon to be the former Jeff Davis Peak, will now officially be part of the sweeping away of the white man's history as the Department of the Interior's rarely talked about Bureau of Virtuous Rightthink renames more than 600 geographic features. And of course, this is all part of the general project of making white people feel uncomfortable, unwelcome, and alienated from this land, just like they did to the natives. So down with Whitey, up with Reddy, and Clingman's Dome we cast thee out in favor of Kuwohi. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, Eugene Daniels, the gay black White House press correspondent for Politico, who was part of the team interviewing Vice President Kamala Harris for the National Association of Black Journalists this week. Now I know what you're thinking. How dare we cancel a double protected category person holding both acronym and African-American identity documents? Yes, normally he would be safer than a made man in the mafia. I understand. But remember your very first principle of wokeness. Anyone, anywhere, at any time can be canceled for any reason. This is the fear that inspires us not to disobey. And disobey Eugene Daniels most definitely did. He was the journalist who infamously kept asking Her Eminence Queen Kamala I difficult questions and then repeating the question when she deftly avoided answering it. In fact, he asked her the same question three different times about two different subjects, U.S. policy towards Israel and abortion, making Her Highness's repetitive talking points sound increasingly vapid and evasive. Repeating a question even one time implies a deficiency in the interviewee because it means the asker doesn't believe she answered it originally, but asking thrice... twice? That's almost like calling someone a liar out loud. So rude, so demeaning, and as Princess Hillary herself observed, also sexist.
Also because they're still grappling with the idea like, oh, am I really going to vote for a woman to be president and commander-in-chief?
She's right. The only time a male journalist asks a woman the same question more than once is when he hates women. Perhaps he's one of those men who like men precisely because he only has disdain for women. But even just demanding she answer specific policy questions is a form of sexism. Surely Mr. Daniels would never ask a male candidate for president. And this is another thing that Princess Hillary was exactly right about.
She does not have to do it, Kara. I'm going to just cut to the chase. In fact, she's put out policies on her campaign website. Mm-hmm. Anybody who's truly interested can go and read about them. She referenced policies. Mm-hmm.
That's right. The first black/Asian woman to run for president doesn't have to answer specific policy questions, especially when asked multiple times. Instead, she can just tell stories, give word salad history lessons in a condescending tone, and remind you that she grew up in the middle class. Just like a man would. So for committing black-on-black rhetorical violence in the third degree, we cancel thee, Eugene Daniels. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, Cameron Yast, the U.S. Navy captain and former commanding officer of the Arleigh Burke-class destroyer, the USS John McCain. Although Yast may not be a household name, many of you have surely seen the photo for which he was relieved of command. The social media post showed the skipper shooting a standard-issue M4 assault weapon into the ocean on board his ship while looking through a scope with brass flying everywhere. Unfortunately for Captain Yast, the scope was mounted backwards, which, had he actually been using it in combat, would have made his target look smaller rather than larger. Online critics noticed this gaffe immediately and mocked the picture mercilessly, even including the United States Marine Corps, who shared the post along with the devastating caption, "Clear sight picture." Because of all the negative press and for bringing disrepute upon the Navy, Yast was relieved of command. Now, dear Utheran, certainly we find ourselves conflicted about this incident. On the one hand, because he is a member of the military and actively engaged in the firing of a murder stick in this picture, we shed no tears over his cancellation. On the other hand, however, we are somewhat grateful to Yast precisely because, in misusing his weapon this way, he did make the Navy look bad. And anything that makes the Navy look bad, we think is a good thing. Since militaries are a tremendous waste of money, and because the Navy indoctrinates impressionable young sailors with nationalistic jingoism and embodies the premise of violence as a way of solving problems, we love seeing any portion of the military lampooned. We do not believe in militaries. We believe in peace through peacefulness, and harmony through harmoniousness, and safety through random acts of kindness and a winsome smile. Also, relieving him of command for improper use of a machine gun implies that there can never be a proper use of a machine gun. But of course, we know that these death wands have no place on any part of this planet. Also, and some may miss this part, those cylindrical oblong bullet containers, I think maybe they're called casings, flying around out of his M4 look as if they may actually be falling right into the ocean in a brazen act of metal pollution. Not to even mention the metal being shot into the water, so despite embarrassing the war machine, Captain Yast must be cast overboard. For promoting warfare, for possessing a firearm, and for polluting the world's oceans, in addition to probably killing some unlucky fish downrange, we tell thee woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Refreshments this week are provided by Misty Mountain Hops, non-alcoholic beer brewed only from the finest all-natural streams of mountains that have been renamed in honor of indigenous peoples. Yes, certified to have been peed into only by de-whitified wildlife, the otherwise flavor-free alcohol-free brews remind you that sometimes justice is the most tasteless of all the flavors. Misty Mountain Hops, you really can't taste the virtue.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
Hey, 27 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Did you catch the hard to catch one? There's one really hard to catch one in there.
Was it about the peat in the water?
No. Brazen. Because brazen means bold or made of brass. See? It's a thinker.
Wow,
that was deep. John Pickens got traffic on the 5.
That was deep, brother. Highway 29, if you're headed southbound to the Dime Mile intersection, you're going to see some delays. Also, if you're headed from Highway 90 from Pace to Pensacola, right there where it splits off with Scenic Highway at the light, you're going to see some delays there. Other than that, traffic is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks, John. You know the joke you have to explain is such a good joke, Andrew. Fine. Whatever. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Donald.
Had you seen the picture of the captain of the ship with the scope backwards when that first came out?
I believe so.
Yeah. It's like the first thing you notice is that the big end of the scope is at the other, is at the wrong place.
Well, and that happens all the time when people do photo ops with weapons. They don't know how to put them on correctly. And
unbelievable.
Yeah.
But, you know, for the CEO of the ship, the skipper of the ship, you know. Somebody pays, yeah. You know, somebody. I don't think that has anything to do with his ability to lead the ship effectively.
No.
Then it does. So, yeah, go on, sir. You were going to say, sorry.
Donald Trump says he would reinstate a travel ban from some mostly Muslim countries if reelected president. That from his remarks at the Israeli-American Council's National Summit in Washington, D.C. Of course, also saying that Israel has to defeat Kamala Harris during that appearance.
The phrase mostly Muslim country reminds me of mostly peaceful protest, but okay, go go on. I don't know why, it just does.
There's a new report out that says U.S. officials believe a ceasefire deal between Israel and Hamas is not likely before President Biden leaves office. That from the Wall Street Journal that reported Thursday. Top officials at the White House, Pentagon, and State Department just don't see that happening.
But Kamala Harris says she's got it under control.
It all under control here. Nothing to see here.
Both be true. All right, go on.
And demonstrations being held across the street from the United Nations as the UN General Assembly gathers in New York. a released hostage and the brother of a murdered hostage leading a rally there across from the UN this morning.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Hey, coming up next, we're going to have the wrap. We're talking with Jeremy Evans and a new participant on the wrap, the owner of Bogies, Brian Stocks, is going to be here, and we'll talk about, goodness, what I don't even know. You know, attacks against Hezbollah members. We might talk about Kamala owning a gun and shooting an intruder, at least in her head. The hiring of Tim Kinsella. There's a lot of things we can talk about. Maybe even American Magic. We'll see what shows up on the wrap. Coming up next, after local news and David Wayne with your Fox with your local
news. I'm Therese Crowley. Early presidential voting begins today in Virginia, Minnesota, and South Dakota. GOP candidate Donald Trump with a college promise at the Israeli-American Council in D.C.
And to confront the crisis of anti-Semitism at our universities, I will tell college presidents that they must end the anti-Semitic propaganda, or they will lose their accreditation and they will lose all federal support.
Democrat nominee Kamala Harris on her Oprah live stream with Hollywood celebrities.
Some people have been pushing a really false choice to suggest you're either in favor of the Second Amendment or you want to take everyone's guns away. I'm in favor of the Second Amendment, and I'm in favor of assault weapons bans, universal background check.
Then she told Oprah, if somebody breaks into my house, they're getting shot, and laughed and said she probably shouldn't have said that. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is sunny and 78 degrees right now in Pensacola. Northwest Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz says his inside sources have revealed substantial threats for President Trump.
I had a senior official from the Department of Homeland Security in my office before the second assassination attempt saying that what he has assessed is that there are five known assassination teams in the United States, three inspired by other governments, two that are here that are known domestic assassination teams.
And Gaetz says this is known to federal officials, and he believes it raises questions about why assets were pulled from President Trump's security detail in Pennsylvania that reassigned to a nearby Jill Biden event when she doesn't have the threat envelope that the former president does. The House Task Force investigation into Trump's assassination attempts holds its first hearing next week. Three people have died after a crash involving a car and two motorcycles on West Michigan Avenue. That happened just after midnight. FHP says a car driven by a 42-year-old Pensacola woman made a left turn directly in front of two motorcycles. Both of those motorcycles crashed into the left side of that car. The riders were identified as a 22-year-old Pensacola man and a 24-year-old Pace man. Everybody involved in that crash died of their injuries. Four men recently arrested in Gulf Shores, Alabama, after what authorities there are calling an illegal berry heist. This started when a passerby noticed four men throwing a white bag into the bed of a truck and quickly jumping in to leave. Well, that prompted a call to the Baldwin County Sheriff's Office, who stopped the truck. In the bed, they say they found 18 bags of palmetto berries, which the group was apparently planning to bring back to Florida to sell. The four men were not charged with stealing the berries, but were arrested on a drug possession charge. Baldwin County officials say it's the second palmetto berry theft reported in the last few weeks. Palmetto berries are used in health supplements and are illegal to harvest without a permit due to the effect on wildlife. They can sell, though, for up to about $10 a pound. Florida's new law banning sleeping in public takes effect the first of next month. Alfred Washburn Center Director Michael Kimbrell tells Channel 3 there's well over 1,000 homeless people in Escambia County that could be affected.
So the law calls for a humane approach, which would be providing encampments.
So far, Kimbrell says that there haven't been any plans for a local camp. The law would allow local governments to designate a campsite that does meet certain requirements like having security, maintaining cleanliness, and offering running water and restrooms. The law requires governments to enforce that public sleeping ban or they could be held liable. Today is the deadline to make your opinions heard on Pensacola's revamp of Palafox Street. The city planning to redo the crosswalks, add larger sidewalks, more trees, and increase walkability. The conceptual plans are available online at thenewpalafox.com. That's also where you'd submit your input. The city hoping to get that out to bid by early next year. Forecasters now bumping up the odds of a tropical disturbance developing in the Gulf of Mexico. According to the National Hurricane Center, a broad area of low pressure could form late this weekend or early next week. After that, gradual development would be possible, and a tropical depression could form as that system moves into the southern Gulf by the middle of next week. They're giving that about a medium chance of development. It's 8:35 right now. News Radio 92.3, John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, you can visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. Still no accidents on the big board right now, but looking at some delays, you're seeing a minor delay right there on I-10 eastbound, right around the Highway 29 construction zone going east. Burgess Road, both east and westbounds are seeing some delay as you're going to 29 or leaving 29. Other than that, things are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to have a beautiful day today with plenty of sunshine, temperatures warming up into the mid to upper 80s for your highs. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping back into the 70s. Keeping sunshine around through the entire weekend, plenty of sunshine both Saturday and Sunday, highs in the upper 80s to low 90s, lows overnight in the low 70s. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEARTV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now we've got 78 degrees. The sun shining in Pensacola, 76 in Gulf Breeze, and 75 in Milton. And your money now this morning. Markets are at the opening bell. Markets down just a bit today. The Dow down 82 points. S&P down 9 points. The NASDAQ, though, is up 6 points this morning. Our 10-year bond rate up just a bit at 3.75%. Gold price is up $22.70 at $26.37. Silver price is up 8 cents at $31.50. And Bitcoin is down 559. That's at 62,821 today. Mortgage rates keep falling. The Fed announced a half-point interest rate cut earlier this week. The standard 30-year fixed-rate mortgage averaged less than 6.1%, down from 6.2% last week, the lowest since February of this year. The Kamala Harris campaign is reportedly outspending the Trump campaign 20-1 on Facebook and Instagram. New York Times says Harris has spent over $12 million on Meta's platforms during the week of the debate. The Trump campaign, about $600,000. And fewer Americans are seeking first-time unemployment benefits. Numbers out from the Department of Labor saw 219,000 requests in the week ending September 14th, down 12,000 from the previous week's revised total and also just a bit lower than most analysts were expecting. 8:38, our next news at 9, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
To the hip, the hip, hip hop, you don't stop.
Rap. I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Commissioner Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It's the end of the week. That means I got a couple of friends here in studio with me, and we're going to talk about the events of the week. One old friend, emphasis on the old.
Thank you.
As you're starting to show your gray hair, Jeremy. Nobody's
yeah,
noticed.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Jeremy Evans is here with us, and also a new friend, Brian Stocks. He is the owner and manager of Bogey's Golf Suites. I'm going to say that wrong.
Yes, sir. No, you nailed it.
Oh, I said it right. Okay. Nailed. Which, by the way, had a chance to come out and hang out with you this week and try out the facilities. And Well, you judge me. How did I do at football?
You did much better than I did, actually.
How did I do at zombie dodgeball?
No one does great at zombie dodgeball.
No, the only way to win at that game is?
Not to play.
That's right. It. Yeah, that's the only way.
It's a blast to play, but you'll never win.
No, so. they keep coming at you. And then you're exhausted. I mean, I was like, I had 45 seconds in of throwing the ball at the zombies, and I thought, I want to die.
Yeah, it's great.
And cardio. Here I'm going to. Okay, perfect. So the first rule of zombies is? Cardio.
Yeah, that's it.
Cardio. You got to watch your zombie land. All right. Anyway, so Brian's here with me, first time guest on The Wrap. God, I don't know where to start. We have so much to talk about. But Jeremy, since you kind of work in the healthcare field,
yeah.
The story that David had mentioned earlier today that I got all excited about because I thought the headline was pretty cool, that cancer-related deaths have dropped 33% over the last 20 years. And you come in and burst the bubble.
Well, the information may be accurate, but from what it sounded like, the story said the data ended in 2021.
Oh.
And so you've got 2019, 2020, and 2021. And I think we still aren't 1,000% sure are, you know, people who came in that may have had stage 4 cancer, they test positive for COVID. Mm-hmm. Do we track that death as a cancer death? Do we track it as a COVID mm-hmm. death? And so some of that, it would not be shocking to me is as we get to 2022, 23, 24, the data continues to update.
Right.
If you see an increase in the deaths, and it's not right. that we could be down 10, 15, 20, 25% as opposed to 33%.
Yeah.
But we just, there's not always the most accurate data when it comes to how that was treated, particularly early on. I think it got better towards mm-hmm. the end, but those first couple of years, I think that we weren't exactly sure how to calculate some of that stuff.
Well, and I mean, there's two slices of that. And I totally agree with you that probably in 2 or 3 years, when we compare, say, you know, 2005 to 2025, then we'll have a much better comparative base. But even if you believe that every single one of the COVID-related or remarked upon deaths was COVID-related, not cancer, okay, and there's, you know, even if you take the accounting side out of it, there's also the fact that, you know, people were genuinely dying of COVID and not cancer.
Oh, absolutely.
And if they're older and they have comorbidities, and so you would expect the death share, if I can say it in the cringy yeah. way like that, of COVID deaths to have increased, taking away from the death share numbers-wise of cancer deaths, meaning that just because of COVID,
yeah.
you would have shown in that particular time frame a decline. So, I was really excited about it. It seemed like an outrageously big number.
Yeah.
And it is probably an outrageously big number. So,
yeah.
Okay.
So fair, what I'm fair. Hearing is like maybe in the next couple of years, we'll get scared about the increase
in cancer yeah. deaths that's coming back up. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Which will be more great headlines.
I'll be ready
yeah.
for it.
Yeah. So, and then what did we do wrong? Well, nothing. We just don't know data. the American story. There's so much to talk. Kamala Harris owns a gun. Believe it or don't believe it.
Why not?
Okay. What kind of gun does she have?
Something that you hold sideways.
Something that's easily manipulated into a poor firing position. Jeremy?
I think that she probably...
I think so, too.
I think that anybody who is a elevated public figure, no matter what your... I think that, you know...
State attorney in California.
Yeah.
Judges and lawyers own guns.
I mean, the judge in Kentucky
right.
yesterday. I mean, you personal protection is a thing.
Right.
And I think that... No matter how you, there are very, very few people who don't believe in gun ownership in America, and
well,
even the most
in
even,
California.
Yeah, but a lot of our most liberal members of that, you know, really try right. to attack the Second Amendment. At some level, they believe in the right of owning a firearm as long as you go through all the checks and all the things.
As long as you pass my tests, right?
I absolutely believe that she probably does.
Even in California during COVID, if those people still live there, there were lines outside of gun stores.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah,
like that.
Absolutely.
And it's not that you can't buy a gun in California. It's just, you know, there's sort
it's
of this
a,
perception.
It's a process. Right.
Yeah, it's a process. But what I want, and I said this before, is I want somebody to ask, well, what do you have? And honestly, look, I never want people to screw up. I would rather people surprise me in a good direction. And I would love her to be like, well, you know, my husband carries a Glock 43. I myself like something that's, you know, a little bit bigger, you know, or tell me you've got a 12 gauge, you know, in the closet. I mean, I don't just tell me something that shows me you're not a complete nincompoop when it comes to guns. And I'll believe you, or at least I'll take it, you know, but I don't know
if
that I expect
I'm
that.
100% honest, you know, maybe her husband is more the gun enthusiast, and sure, he can tell you all about it, and she knows.
And she's
he has a Glock.
Acquired some stuff.
He has a Glock. I have gone to the range, and I have shot the Glock, and I know how to use it. It's not my thing.
Right.
But if I ever had to use it, I know how to make sure the safety's off, I know how to load it, and I know how to pull the trigger and how to aim and hold a gun.
Dear Jeremy, there's no safety on a Glock. Ding! But to that point about using it, she says... What did she say? If you come into my house, you're going to get shot, she told. Let me see. I got the clip right here.
If somebody breaks in my house, they're getting shot.
If somebody breaks into my house, they're getting shot.
Yeah. The way she said it, it's sideways. I can tell.
But it's very... It's a sudden thing to say that, right? Yeah. And to believe that somebody who is in favor of gun control is so blithe and opposes capital punishment is so blithely talking about executing an intruder to her home, political ploy, or is she just really being her? What do you think?
That all of it's theater, so yeah. I don't understand. I don't understand the question almost. It's like,
which part of it is more believable or not?
Sure. Like,
I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt and say this is just her. You know, in a candid moment. But there is actually a part of me that thinks, okay, the strategy is at the debate, we're going to say we got a gun. And at the NABJ, we're going to say we got a gun. And with Oprah, you're going to say you got a gun and you'll shoot an intruder. And this is how we're going to play it out. And it's going to play great.
I think the more interesting part of what you just said is you're going to give her the benefit of the doubt. And I think that for someone who's been the vice president for 4 years and other things, we don't know her very well.
Right.
And so like this whole idea of like, what's her personality? What's all this kind of things? We don't know her very well. And to me, the most interesting thing in what you just said is I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt because we don't know her very well.
Right.
And she's been the vice president for 4 years. You know, Joe Biden has been old. He could have passed away multiple years ago. She could be the president today, and we don't know her very well. I think that's the most telling thing about this whole conversation.
No, that's fair. A lot of unknowns, and that's why we're kind of scrounging through the old videos and speeches and debates and interviews. I mean, I actually feel bad. There was an interview she did. I think it was with Colbert, might have been with Kimmel, and I keep things on my DVR that I might eventually watch, and I had deleted it like a week before the switch took place. I'm like, I mean, I could go on YouTube, but I'm not that diligent. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing very smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much. Oh, somebody says they've been doing their research. They say online what they can find is that Harris has a pistol. Okay. I'm just out of curiosity, genuinely. It's just a weird thing I'm kind of oddly captivated by. Shade meetings. The Escambia County Commission... It might be that you are close to somebody who's a future Escambia County Commissioner.
Yeah, correct.
Right? Ashley Hoffberger is the owner of the building and business partners with you.
Yeah, one of our business partners.
Yeah. These shade meetings. You've read them, Jeremy?
Yeah.
You've heard me performing them with John Pickens so capably. It doesn't surprise me. I know how people talk in private, and I know how these people talk in private. Particularly, I know how these people talk because I've talked to them, away from the microphone. But I don't think a lot of people know how they talk in private and the level of viciousness and vulgarity and pettiness. And, look, I swear in private. I'm not going to make a big thing about it. But there's a difference between swearing for color or flair and swearing out of fury at people because you can't stand them.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, I would agree with that. There's a little bit of difference there. There's also something nice about knowing that people are people.
Yeah, fair. Agreed.
When
I should get along so awesomely.
Yeah. When you have to display yourself a certain way.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of stress there.
Listen, I've said this many times. I would not want to be a politician because I would have a hard time playing the role I think you're supposed to play. The poker face part. Not it. No. Cannot do it. I'm going to laugh at you when you say dumb things.
It's difficult to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeremy?
I mean, I think that it's very challenging. It's the idea of everything being in the sunshine is.
Well, almost.
Well,
eventually.
Theoretically, is a great and pure idea. I do think that sometimes hard conversations have to be had when you don't want to have the poker face for the best of the county. I think at times conversations need to be held out of the public view because sometimes people have to have conversations where they're talking themselves to understand something better, and they may have to ask dumb questions. They may have to do some of those things, and you don't want to do that on a dais in the public in front of everybody. And so I think that sometimes you get these conversations that I think we would all be, you know, not 100% ourselves if we didn't think these conversations weren't even happening, not in a shade meeting.
So when I moved to Florida, I thought the Sunshine Law was crazy.
Yeah.
Because I'd never heard of a place that tried to run anything by forcing the decision makers to first time encounter ideas live on TV. Mm-hmm. That's a crazy way to do business. I have since come around a lot of it, but I still think you're right that there's value in it. But I would rather see commissioners who are willing to be, to maybe look like they don't know. Yeah. I would rather, I mean, look, I do this radio show. My job is to know as much as can possibly be known by any given human in preparation for a four-hour radio show. But there's all kinds of things I don't know. And what's the old rule when you're teaching? Admit you don't know. Try to find out. I'm always surprised by stuff and saying it on the air and saying I'm not sure about this. And I don't know why we don't have more leaders who aren't willing to be a little bit vulnerable and to show that they don't know something. Because if I ever ran for county commission and, God forbid, got elected to the position, I would be up on the dais asking all kinds of questions. You know, I don't know how this works. I don't know how this works. Can you explain this? Because I know if I don't know, the voters don't know, and we all ought to know together. But
there's something refreshing about that, though. Like when you encounter a person that they say, I'm not sure about that. I don't know. And even if they're supposed to be this authoritative figure, to see them process an idea,
right.
You learn a lot about a person watching them process an idea. I think that's super valuable.
Instead of the person who's got to pretend they always know or make up an answer instead of saying we don't know, which is almost always easy to figure out.
I mean, the other thing that I would say is what we're talking about is people being authentic and like them, hate them, whatever. I think one of the things that draws people to Donald Trump is there's no doubt that he's who he is. He's not filtered. He's not any of those things. And I think that authenticity of he is who he is and it's not filtered through political consultants or press releases is what draws him to people. And I think in a very different way but similar is when you get people to have these authentic moments is what draws people in. And I wish politicians would pick up more on that. Just be transparent. Be who you are.
I would say it just a little bit differently, but you tell me if you think I'm wrong about this. I think a lot of times that Trump is manipulating, scheming, coming up with, he's strategizing, he's working, you know, three-dimensional chess kind of stuff in the way he says things. And sometimes he's just crazy, and sometimes he's doing it for an effect. I'm not convinced that authentic Donald is who we see giving the speech. In fact, I'm pretty sure that's not authentic Donald because of what I've heard about him in private. But what I do believe is there's such a common theme among politicians of the cultivated, prepared, the air, the presentation of what a politician looks like. And he is absolutely the opposite of that.
I agree with that 100%.
And because we're starved for, because we feel like they are inauthentic, he feels by contrast authentic.
Well, and that's what's interesting that he's done recently with jumping on different like podcasts for mm-hmm. different influencers where you have no idea what this guy's going to ask you or what they're going to say. And you're in the middle of a conversation. You're going to get a very realistic or authentic reaction mm-hmm. from some of those. And some of them have been pretty funny.
And I've heard, I haven't listened. Have you heard, you've listened to several of these?
Oh, yeah. There's one clip that went viral with him with a comedian named Theo Vaughn.
Yeah.
Do you know that one? Yeah. Where they start talking about cocaine.
Really?
And it's just one of those things where his reaction is kind of authentic. Like he's like, oh, wow, that's pretty interesting. And if you know anything about the comedian Theo Vaughn, like he's only authentic all the time.
Okay.
Wow. It was a pretty interesting interaction. But seeing that mm-hmm. humanizes a politician, no matter who the politician is.
And even if I disagree with you, at least you're human.
Yeah, I know you're human. You eat food. That's great.
Right, exactly. You put ketchup on steak and you know, you fold your pizza and
I'm not a fan of two people that I think of as being this authentic personality are Ron Paul and Bernie Sanders because they were out on their own island forever.
I agree.
And they were who they were. And I would never want to see either of them be president of the United States, but I have tremendous respect for who they are because they have been who they are even when they were no chance of getting their agenda passed. They weren't willing to compromise who they were. And I had tremendous respect for who they were as an individual as opposed to everybody else who would flow with the ebbs and those kind of things. And
I agree with that. I had one in my head the other day, and I can't remember who it was, but I was thinking that about a person who is just who they are. I would never agree, but I know who this person is all the time, and I have a tremendous amount of respect, and I'd rather deal with those kind of people.
Well, because you can trust that,
right?
It's not theater.
I don't have to decide, are they telling me the truth?
I don't have to wonder, do you actually have a gun? Is it actually this?
Right.
Because I can trust this is a person that you are.
Agree. No, absolutely. 437-1620, if you have any questions that you want us to discuss, we're always open to that possibility. The targeted device implanted explosives with remote activated triggers in what so far is only a two, or I guess the solar panels is another part, a three device strategy for cell phones of Hezbollah people, of the walkie talkies, and then apparently also something connected with the, some solar panels. I mean, what aren't you? I've said, if I'm in Hezbollah, not that I'm applying or anything, I got to imagine that my DVR is going to blow up, or my phone is going to blow up, or they got into my air conditioning system, or good Lord, what can Mossad not do to kill me? Right?
For me, I think there's no bad that could possibly come out of utilizing this type of technology whatsoever. I think it's great. Nothing about this is scary.
Do you feel comfortable with your phone in your pocket these days?
Yes, I love everything about this. I'm on whoever's team is controlling that.
Yeah, whoever. Israel is amazing, and the Mossad people are the best ever. Yeah. No questions asked. Please don't kill me.
It is. I try not to think about what this could mean for all of us moving forward.
What's your level of security? When we were growing up, Jeremy, not you, you're too young, Brian. But when we were growing up, the big worry we had was that somebody would put something in an apple, or they'd put something in the Tylenol. Pretty much all of these things never actually happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But, I mean, a couple of things, that were weird. Now you don't have to worry about the safety seal on the ragu. You have to worry about the safety seal on your cell phone.
Yep.
Or, I mean, we don't have pagers, but, anything you might buy in which you could put a sufficient amount of C4 and a receiver to blow it up, that's what you got to worry about.
Your Bluetooth headset, your everything. Like,
And it's right next to your head, too, so a smaller device could do more damage, right? I'm having, scanners? Is that the one where they put the thing in their head?
Yeah.
So, that's great. Thanks for that, Brian.
No, I think
this is feel much better now.
Great idea. Real bright future.
Or Mission Impossible, the Ghost Protocol, I think, was the one that had that, too, so... Great. John Pickens got traffic on the fives.
Still no accidents to let you know about right now. Things are flowing smoothly on I-10, I-110. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
I got all these people texting me. My pager just went off. Well, you're still here to talk about it, so it's all fine.
That's good.
So as an ethicist, I used to teach some, I took a really great course one time on just war theory with one of the sort of modern kings of that domain. So I have a pretty good grounding in thinking about these things. And, terrorism is wrong because it targets noncombatants as leverage against combatants. It's disproportionate. It's killing too many people to accomplish too small a result. It doesn't lead to peace and negotiation. Terrorism produces animosity and warfare. So it's contrary to everything that just war theory stands for. So when Hezbollah engages in terrorism, and they've attacked like the Beirut barracks, and, they were involved in a lot of things as other organizations in the past and certainly in modern time. I have no problem terrorizing Hezbollah. I don't like that innocent kids or other people were hurt in the process, but I feel like that's Hezbollah's fault, not Mossad's fault. Any disagreement? Any think about it differently?
No, I think it is it's this new conflict in an area of the world that's never had any conflict, and it continues to go, and there are people fighting over very special core parts of their belief. And
right.
I don't know how you root out terrorism, because theoretically you don't do it with violence, because you only are going to create
the grievance that they sell to the next round of potential initiates.
And
right.
So there's no, it's just this vicious cycle.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you get out of it. I don't hold any ill will, any ill thoughts, I would probably do the same thing. If I was in Israel and worked for Mossad and had the great idea, and I'm like, hey, we can do this thing. I figured out how to do it, and I would green light the idea. But then it just keeps round going round and round and round.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for me, when you look at any conflict like that, there's the human toll, whether these are bad guys.
Right.
Like we talked about before, that like,
well, you're a person of faith. You're a pastor.
Yeah. Where did they come from? I'm a Jesus guy. I look at this and I'm like, I can only be heartbroken about it.
Right.
Going like, this is just wrong. Stop. Like, but that's why for me, being a Jesus guy, I think you have a really great point of you don't end terrorism with violence. I think you end terrorism with good news.
And if if anything's going to work long term, it'll be the gospel, probably not bullets. Gentlemen,
listen
thank you so
on
much.
Air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620 News.